Welcome to a new edition of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget to follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. This week, our guest John Sable from ABC News, Action News in Tampa Bay, is going to be joining us later on in the show. But for now, let's talk about how we're in the playoffs. We are in the playoffs. You can finally say it without me throwing things at you.
No. No, like there was any doubt.
Well, you never know.
You don't, I guess.
And I still don't want to gloat that we're in the playoffs too much because I feel like, I mean, we have 13 or so games, 12, 13 games left in the season.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, after we played Detroit, it was going to be 13.
Oh, okay.
Which I feel like is a lot, but there are only four home games at home the rest of the season.
And that's probably why it feels like a lot.
It feels like a lot, but there are only four home games. They're on the road a lot this last bunch of games.
It's a really ugly end of the season.
And we had a couple guys out at the Detroit game. Jan Ruda came up, did a good job.
Yeah, did a nice job, I thought.
Hopefully... It'll be interesting to see what this team does between now and the beginning of the playoffs. Are they going to rest guys? Are they going to try different things? Which they had a couple different lineups on Saturday against Detroit. So that's interesting. Like, are they going to try some things? Victor Hedman was very aggressive on the puck, almost like a forward. it's going to be interesting to see what this coaching staff decides to do. Rest guys, try new things, or try to keep it as status quo as possible and, like, work on tiny little details. Because I feel like this team does so many things so well. It's like, how can we improve? I mean, we talk about, we try to plan out our shows every week. And we're like, well, what do we talk about?
There's nothing
to pick apart. There's nothing to point out. There's nothing to discuss because they are so sound in their game. Now, granted, we have talked a lot this season about a full 60 minutes, a complete game. We maybe get 45 minutes.
We get
of a complete game all season. And they scored so many goals in the Detroit game, but a lot of them were disallowed. It was like, I think it was five goals that they could have gotten in that game, and like two were disallowed. There were a couple disallowed goals, which is crazy.
Yeah, Stamkos' goal was disallowed after the Detroit coach, you know, challenged it for offsides, which it was.
It was.
And I've said that when you have guys as fast as the Lightning are, it's gonna happen. And I said this like 3 months ago. Like we talked about it on our show that it's gonna get to the point where, no pun intended, where other coaches are going to say, you know, I bet they have a lot of offsides that aren't getting called because they're so fast.
Right.
I bet, you know, we talked about it. Coaches are going to start challenging these things.
Yeah.
And now I just hope it didn't open a floodgate.
I don't think so.
Never know. Listen, I don't want to say it's petty. I don't want to say it's a petty league.
But here's the thing. If you're going to challenge something, you can lose a timeout. So, like, whether you get it, like,
but I think, I don't know if hockey, if it's as detrimental as it is
it
in
could be,
basketball.
It could be if it's a one goal game, it comes down to, you know, the last minute and the goalie's pulled. And I mean, it could.
Yeah. I mean, it could, but I don't, it's not as strategic as it is in other sports.
No.
That's what I'm trying to say.
No,
so you know, in basketball, it's strategy and football and stuff like that. So I do get that, but listen, you got to throw everything at the Lightning.
Yeah, the
and
kitchen
that's something
sink.
That you're going to have to throw at them.
The kitchen sink, the dishwasher.
Chance. Yeah, the dining room table.
The dining room
grandma's
table.
Grandma's hutch.
Grandma's hutch.
What else are you going to...
The cabinet where mother keeps the cookie jar.
Yeah, and I do... I don't know if we have a minute to talk about this.
We do.
But so we talked about the Hart Trophy.
Yes.
And I do want to kind of come back to it for one thing, because I didn't see the numbers.
Okay.
There's some maths out there.
I'm not very good at math.
Me neither. But Kucherov, I'm just going to say this, because I said I don't know how you could really... It's hard because the Lightning are so good.
Right.
Okay. They are now 45-4-3 when Kucherov gets at least 1 point. And they are 7-9-1 when he doesn't.
Oh.
So I'm going to say Kucherov should probably win the Hart Trophy. I am changing it a little bit because I think we're... You know, when you watch the Lightning... night after night after night, we see these things that other players do. And then it's like, well, if Kucherov wasn't scoring, would somebody else step up? Sure. But really, can you play a what-if game? You can't. So you have to, you know, the cards, they're dealt. And I don't know. I think it's got to go to Kucherov. It has to go to Kucherov. First of all, he's by far the most outstanding player.
Yeah, and he broke Vanilla Cavalier's record on Saturday night.
Amazing.
And instead of 109 points and just breaking it, why don't you get another point?
Yeah, right? Right?
He is just...
Everybody talks about
fantastic.
What a superstar and how fantastic he is. And he is. He's it's just so darn good and fun to watch.
Very fun to watch. And you know what? After we had that discussion, the NHL put something out on Instagram about the Norris Trophy. And they have, it's like a image.
Yeah.
I forget what they call them. Something, a gram. Imageogram, I don't know. don't write, don't call. But they've got four defensemen listed and then like an asterisk for other ones.
Okay.
Mark Giordano.
Okay.
Brent Burns, Morgan Riley, Chris Letang, others receiving 10 plus points, Roman Josi, John Carlson, and Seth Jones. There's no Victor Hedman listed here.
Mark Giordano is having a great year.
He is. He's having a career year.
He's having a very, 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 very good year for being, 35? I mean, he's...
And this is for...
He's up there.
This is 21 NHL.com writers cast their votes at the three-quarter mark.
Do you think it's just one of those things where, like, because, listen, McDonough could get a vote, too. Is it just...
We're just splitting. We're splitting the votes.
But do you think it's... Hedman is... Like, people want to spoil it a little. Like, they can't have everything. They can't have the best goalie and the best score. They can't have everything.
I don't know.
But, I mean, I don't know. I see a lot of Lightning not getting love all of a sudden.
Why? Is it just because they're so good?
I don't know.
Or they're so far ahead that people aren't really paying attention?
Because
it's not exciting. They're just winning. And I think there is a lump of teams in the middle who, you know, they're not going to focus on the Lightning because they're in.
No, it's, I've seen on the, like, on the opening page for about a week straight that the lead story is the Bruins. Now, 19 straight points or whatever they have, I get it. But.
They're playing some really good hockey right now.
And they are. And we talked about that.
It pains me to say it.
We talked about it. Are they better than the Lightning? Absolutely not. It's one line versus four. No. Get out of there with that nonsense. But were they the better team when they beat the Lightning a couple weeks ago? Yes. That night they were.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're the better team. So I just feel it's, I don't know if it's just like, maybe you're right. Maybe it's just they're just so far ahead at this point. That it's like, meh.
And then maybe they're because they've been good so long.
Maybe.
There's nothing to write home
maybe
about.
Maybe they're boring to other, writer, maybe.
I'd much rather be boring and winning than, you know, never knowing what you're going to get one night.
Two goalies with 20 plus, with at least 20 wins?
Yeah, and I was listening to NHL.com the other day, and they were throwing out goalie tandems in the league right now, and I forget who they mentioned, but not one of them. Mentioned the goalie tandem in Tampa.
Oh, that's okay. I was listening to it the other day, and they were doing top three players or something like that, that you can go back and say...
I should have drafted them.
No. You'll tell your grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
Not one of them was Steven Stamkos or Nikita Kucherov.
Were they players this year?
I mean, most people were naming players this year. And the guy had a thing that you could not name Sid Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, or Connor McDavid.
Yeah,
not
I wouldn't name any
one,
of those guys either.
Not one said Kucherov or Stamkos. Or Hedman, or Vasilevskiy, you know what I mean? Not one named a tandem. And I just thought, are we there now? Are we
We're the redheaded stepchild.
No,
we are.
I feel like,
and
we
I could
again.
Say that because I actually am one.
Yeah, but I mean, I just feel like we've gotten back to that where it's like, listen, come on.
Well, we'll make them pay attention in the playoffs.
I hope.
Boom.
Now that you can say that.
Now that I can say it without breaking into a sweat. Yeah, no, it's quite impressive.
It is,
and you know. There were a couple seasons ago where we had plenty of stuff to talk about after a week of games.
Yeah. And I saw some Bruins fans after the NHL posted, like, yeah. Oh, the Lightning are like the fastest to yeah. and however long to clinch a playoff spot, blah, 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 blah. Did we have any doubt? And a whole bunch of Bruin fans, and this is not to, you know, poo-poo on your parade, Bruin fans, if there's any out there that listen to us. I mean, they're obviously right. out there. And they, well, like, a couple of them were like, oh, they got to get through the Bruins. And then, like, some people were like, the Bruins have to get through the Toronto for, you know, if the season were to, right. like, what do you know? What are you talking about? Like, that's so, you've got a couple.
Because we would play the wild card team.
Yeah, so we would, as of right now, or as of, let's say it this way, as of I think Detroit's win, it would be Columbus.
Oh, okay. The other day it was Montreal.
No, it's so because it's the Lightning at the top.
Right.
And then Washington is winning their division. So it right. doesn't go to the Bruins. It goes to Washington.
Okay.
Because they're the division winner.
Got it.
Or would be as okay. of, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So then it would go that way. I think it's, yeah.
Hmm.
But it would be the eighth place team because yeah, no matter what, they're
we're not going to play the second place team in our division no. the first round.
No.
It may come down to it in, you know, the semis. No, not the semis.
No, it would have to be all the way.
Right.
I'm pretty sure.
Mm.
But, I mean, come on. Like.
Let them have their fun. It's fine. We'll just keep playing and winning and plugging along. All right.
Well, I don't like we have to play them a couple more times.
No, I know. That's not going to be fun. Maybe that's what they meant.
You know what?
They have to get through the Bruins.
Last time I cast some doubt, it didn't go well. So I'm going to say this. We're going to play them a couple more times. I am not worried in the slightest bit. They do not scare me. They do not intimidate me.
They might lick you.
They might lick me. No thanks.
I'll pass. Hard pass.
I don't want your lobster lips all over me.
Okay. I think we should take a break before we enrage any Boston fans that may be listening. Okay. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our guest, John Sable, when we come back on Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Dory, would you like to introduce our guest since you are friends with him?
Yeah. So I say this often, but we're very fortunate to have amazing sports media guys
yes.
in Tampa Bay. Not only are they very good at their jobs, but they're just very, very good people. And this guy definitely is up there with one of the nicest you'll ever meet. He's the sports director and weekend anchor for ABC Action News, John Sable. John, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Good morning.
Yeah, you are very, very busy. As I said, you're the sports director and the weekend anchor. I don't think you get days off because every time I turn on ABC Action News, it's always you and Dennis Phillips all the time. I'm like, do they sleep there? Do they live there? I mean, you guys are absolute workhorses.
Yeah, Dennis actually sometimes has to sleep there, especially during during hurricane season, you know, when we're being, threatened with a bad storm. But I try to avoid to do that sometimes. I'll leave the station at like 3 or 4 in the morning and I'm like, I should just stay here if I could get up early. But I'm like, no, I just can't do that.
All right. So let's talk about the Lightning. It's obviously an incredible season. It's a magical season. I don't know. It's kind of a cheesy thing to say, but at this point, we're running out of superlatives.
Yeah. I mean, it's been that way ever since the fall. This team is just kind of blown by everybody in the standings, continues to impress. It's a historic season, no doubt. You know, I said it on the air last night, guys. Every night, every game, it seems like the Lightning either tie or break some record, whether it's an individual performance like Nikita Kucherov last night against Detroit, or just a team performance, or maybe one of the fastest teams to get to 30 or 40 or 50 points or 50 wins or whatever it is. They enter in some type of rare company or record that you don't really know is around until the stat guys throw it up there, and you see it, and you're just like, man, this is just incredible. And it puts a lot of different things really in perspective, really. Because for me, while this regular season has been historic and has been just memorable and really dominant, if I had to put one word to describe this team, it's dominant. You know, it's great, but we've seen a lot in hockey where teams can get on these streaks and get on these dominant performances in the regular season, but can it transfer to the postseason? And I know we're not there yet. We've got 13 games remaining, but that's going to be the big, the big factor with this team being under the microscope as they get into the first round of the playoffs, because we've seen time and time again where teams that have been on these runs falter in the playoffs. I don't think the Lightning can do that because I think they're way too talented, way too experienced, and I think they will not have a first or second round exit like we've seen other teams in the past falter, like a Capitals squad or a Red Wings team, you know, in the past, 10 years or so, or maybe even like the San Jose Sharks in the past. But you know, that it is an interesting way of looking at it in the historical way. And it will be you're going to know the national media is going to be really on top of that angle once the playoffs begin. But regardless, guys, this has been an amazing season. Fans need to continue to enjoy this ride.
You know, one of the things that you talked about, that I talked about in our first segment is, these teams that go on these runs and then they don't do so hot. Maybe they don't go as deep in the playoffs as we think they will. But a lot of those teams only have maybe a star mm-hmm. line. And I think what gets overlooked because
they're just so good and they win all the time.
Honestly, because Nikita Kucherov is just grabbing all the points sometimes, it feels like, this is a really, really deep team. And I don't remember a team being this deep on four lines and all the defensive pairings since maybe that 95-96 Red Wing team.
Wow, that's a good point, too. You're right. The depth of this squad is ridiculous because if you think of, like, the past maybe four playoff appearances, and you got to go back to the Stanley Cup appearance when they played Chicago in 2015. I mean, a lot of these guys were young. Kucherov was still a young guy. Brayden Point wasn't even on the radar back then. Tyler Johnson was just coming on the scene. And we had a probably good one or two lines then, and then it's just kind of snowballed from there. And this team is so deep that they can score with anybody at any time. Like an Alex Killorn and Anthony Cirelli coming up that have really stepped up and have really been there. Those young guys that have been able, maybe not Killorn as much, but a Cirelli and a Point that have really been able to grab that stage of not being afraid of the moment and just showing what they can do. And what also makes this team, I think, even more special, to your point, is that not only are they deep, but they all have that same like maturity and mentality of being very selfless. You know, they want to help each other out there. They are one of those guys. There's no egos on this team. And maybe in some of those other teams in the past, like we mentioned before, you know, Red Wing, Sharks, Capitals, and those are the three clubs in the past that I've seen dominant, you know, that maybe have faltered. I think maybe the depth, and I think the maturity on those other teams may have been able to, prohibit them from going far and eclipsing what they were trying to do and get to that Stanley Cup and win. I don't see any faltering whatsoever with this team when you look at it like that.
Yeah, and it's a great point. And we've mentioned it probably every week for 5 years. The Steven Stamkos is an incredible display of poise and calm confidence. He's such a leader, and you know, he was kind of crowned at like what, 11 years old or something, like, oh, this kid's gonna make it in the NHL, keep your eye. So he's like dealt with it for so long that it's kind of like, you know, it's crazy to think how long he's been on this team, him and Hedman.
Yeah.
But he's always kind of that guy that you look to when things aren't going well, when they are going well. Then you have Anton Stralman, who I think is just a remarkable leader. It's just a room full of so many natural leaders that you don't see a lot of ego. I mean, obviously Kucherov was happy for himself when he, you know, got the Lightning record, but you never feel like Kucherov's doing it for Kucherov. You feel like Kucherov's doing it because it's helping his team.
Absolutely. And you know, the interesting thing too, if you think about it, this club, like with Stammer, when they lose, which is been very rare this year, but when they have lost in games where probably they shouldn't have, well, we could look at the Wild a couple nights ago, or maybe that Boston game earlier, or you know, a game against you know, Anaheim. You know, there's always a guy in the locker room that he doesn't call out his team like you see other guys do in other sports. I mean, and maybe you can call it a call out, I guess. But Stamkos does it in such a he does call him out, but I look at that as like a negative when you phrase it like that. He says it in a way where it's professional, in a coaching style, where it's not a negative. It's a negative, but it's not comes across as being like, oh guys, we're awful. We are just a horrible team, or this guy needs to step up, and this guy's doing something wrong. But he says it in a way where it's such a calm demeanor. It's kind of like, it's funny to say this because, you know, Stamkos has been on this team for so long, and he's not that, he's not old, but he almost says it like a calming father-like demeanor. You know, like, it's funny because, you know, if you're in the locker room talking to him, and he obviously, every athlete nowadays, you know, they anticipate all the questions, they know we're going to ask him, but, you know, he is ready for any type of question, and he is right there with it with a calm demeanor response. That comes across as like, okay, yeah, you're right. You have a good point there, and this club hears that. And I think that's what that factor, I think, is missing in a lot of sports, not just hockey, but a lot of teams, a lot of team-oriented sports. And Stephen's had this for a long time. But, you know, he's 29 years old, or just turned 29. But you got to look at who he's learned this from, mm-hmm. You know, when Marty was there and when Vinny was there. And, you know, that is a valuable asset to him as a player, as the captain, and just as a man on the team, on and off the ice. And he credits those guys and other players he's played with. And you got to credit, you know, John Cooper and, you know, and Steve Yzerman that have built this team to find personalities and skill players and guys that know their role that also complement that type of demeanor. And I think that's something that is never really stated, and we never really get like that way into thinking because we just look at what they've done this season in terms of all the stats and the wins and the dominant performance. But, you know, that is a big factor when it comes to playoff time. I mean, that's key. And for once, he is healthy. He hasn't been healthy like this for a long time, for a few years. And there's been a lot of good signs with this team being health-wise. And if there's one thing that could hurt them, it was obviously the devastating injury and things like that. But if you have that demeanor and you have this continued hot streak playing in the playoffs in health, this team's going to be very dangerous and we'll have a memorable run come June.
We're speaking with John Sable of ABC Action News. John, I know you and I don't really know each other, but you almost put me into cardiac arrest.
I almost had to find a defibrillator.
I'm a little like superstitious when you start talking about health. I was like, oh God, here he goes. But I think you're right, likening Steven Stamkos to like a calm father. It's almost like the whole thing, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed in you. And he doesn't single anybody out. It's always we and the team. And even if he had a great game and maybe some other guys weren't really pulling their weight, he's never singling out anybody in that, you know. And we haven't even talked about the influence that Ryan Callahan has on this locker room. So it's almost like we have so many great pieces. We have four lines that can score. Our defensive pairings are clicking. Even when we bring up a new guy to fill in, and we might have some guys out, we are quite rich with the talent and the attitudes in that locker room. And I think that is maybe the one factor that cup-winning teams have are how tight the locker rooms are and the attitudes of the locker room. And I feel like they've had this attitude since they hit the ice in October, and they just haven't stopped.
Absolutely. They had an edge on this team, or on themselves with this team, dating back to the, you know, the disappointing, devastating loss in the conference final last year in Washington. You know, you could see night and day mm-hmm. with that team going into the game sixes and game sevens. You know, I was there in D.C., and you know, it was a shock, and you knew after that game that it hadn't really sunk in yet. And then you get back here into Tampa and you talk to them, you know, the exit interviews, and then it kind of sunk in. And then you knew from that moment on that this team was going to come into camp in September with an edge and really upset. And I don't want to say they're playing angry, but they haven't forgotten about what happened. And you know, every season's different, and some players will tell you, well, you know, we're using it as motivation, or we're really not thinking about that. But there have been countless players this year have told me that, yeah, that is still, we're focused on this year, but we're still really upset what happened, you know, in May with the Caps series. And using that as motivation has been big for them, you know, whether some players want to admit it or not, but some have, to me at least. And granted, it's hard to believe. It's almost been a year since then. But when you have that and you see how well this team has played and you see what they're capable of doing, using something like that as motivation is completely fine. And they are deep, like we've mentioned. And I didn't mean to put you into cardiac arrest, jinx this team. But I mean, but that has to be. I'll state it. But I mean, like, you got to think. People always say the key to any team in sports, especially with this club, is health. And they've been healthy, and that's been fantastic. And I think it's going to continue to be that way. But if you're trying to look at any little, you know, any little issue that's going to flip them up, I guess that's what it would be. Because there's no one in this league that could beat them in a series consistently the way they're playing. You know, like they have this mindset, guys, where we're going to win every single night and no one's going to stop us. And that's not being cocky. That's not being arrogant. That's just being confident because they have that mentality. And it starts with Stamkos and it starts with John Cooper. And it starts with guys like Victor Hedman and a Ryan Callahan. And you bring up a great point. Ryan Callahan, a lot of people, and he was upset that he had been a healthy scratch and he's lost his spot in the lineup, but he's taken it with class. He's taken it like a pro, and that's rubbed off on the younger guys. And a lot of fans back in early February when the trade deadline was coming at the end of the month were like, well, maybe they're going to trade him to get something. And you know, I'm glad they didn't, because he's going to be a main factor for that team on and off the ice when it comes to playoff time. He is a valuable asset. And he's doing a lot of things that we're not seeing, even at the healthy scratch, mentoring some of these young guys. And that is a factor right there that no one probably thinks about, but is a big, big factor for this team for the long term as well.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more from John Sable from ABC Action News. Stand by.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we are back with our guest, John Sable from ABC Action News. And so we were talking about the locker room and how important the leadership is in this locker room. And, you know, we clinch early a spot in the playoffs. What do you think this coaching staff is going to do? Because some teams will rest, guys. Some teams will keep playing the way they are just to work out, you know, the details and maybe some, like, the little things. But what do you think we might see from the Lightning this next 13 or so games as far as lineups are concerned and preparing for the playoffs?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because that is something where any coach will tell you in hockey that they don't want to continue. It's not like football where, like, you already clinch your spot and within 2 weeks you're going to, you know, sit and just wait. Remember, mm-hmm. like the Colts used to do that with Peyton Manning every year,
mm-hmm.
where he'd sit the final like two
right.
weeks of the season.
Right.
And like Jim Sorgi would back him up and, you know, it would just be an automatic loss, you know, in the standings, but it didn't have any bearing with them on their, postseason situation. Hockey is different. I mean, I don't see John Cooper just starting to just randomly rest guys that are going to be, you know, a factor for them. I mean, no one's hurt, so they have no reason really to rest guys or take some time off. But I don't know if that's good for chemistry if you start sitting guys or maybe decreasing their ice time or doing something, because you want to be clicking. And, you know, it depends, I think, on how they're playing. You know, I think it really depends that if they start, you know, that he might sit somebody. I just don't see that being a major way of thinking for this club, only because, you know, you want the consistent chemistry. And if there is one fault on this Lightning team, is that sometimes after a loss, they lose to teams that they shouldn't lose to. You know, they maybe struggle maybe with just a focus thing just because they've been so dominant. And I don't want to say they're taking periods off or games off, but they're just not, like, clicking there. And you know what? You can't fault them for doing that because of how much they're winning. Mm-hmm. You know, the big talk has been of the last few months, specifically in the last few weeks, how are you going to be able to stay focused? How are you going to be able to like continue to like come up to the rink every single day and play against these teams that are, you know, whether they're in it or out, and you were clinching or you haven't clinched a spot, now you have. How are you going to keep that mentality up? And we talked to Stamkos again, was just saying, well, you know, we have to do it. You know, we have to be on top of things. We have to do it. That this is part of the game. This is part of our situation we're in. So I don't know, like, resting guys, unless they have a lingering injury that we don't know, I think it could maybe damage the chemistry a little bit. But then there's also that factor of, okay, well, you know, what if some guy gets hurt? You know, maybe they ease off a little bit without sacrificing or hurting their ultimate, you know, chemistry goal or whatever. It's an interesting position to get in, and I still think we're a little too far out to really think what they're going to do, depending on how they play maybe the next few weeks with 13 games left. But that last, like, four or five games are on the road. Mm-hmm. That could be interesting. They may do it then, you know, just to rest up the bodies, because once that season ends that weekend, I think it's on that Saturday, they're going to have probably about four days off until the first round begins, you know, in Tampa, obviously. So, you know, that may, if you see it, it could probably happen in the first or the last two or three games or so. But I don't see it happening more than that, if at all.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a bad idea, because you play Montreal, Toronto, and Boston in 6 days at the end of the season. So I'm on board with that, resting some guys.
Well, especially because, you know, the playoffs, obviously the wild card seedings haven't been set yet.
Right.
So, you know, there's a good chance you could play one of those two teams.
Right.
You know, especially, you know, Montreal, I think they're entering today's standings, what, 2 points out behind Columbus, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of shaking and moving there in the standings and what could happen. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see that. Those last four games on the road will be a telling sign of what Coop does.
Yeah, and the other thing that, you know, talk about, talking to Steven, how do you keep this going? You keep it going because you still have to face the Capitals, and you still, you know, what, once or twice or something. You still have to play Boston twice. You still have to play the Habs. You still have to play Toronto a couple times. There's a lot of guys that are trying to claw at that Lightning lead, you know, that point lead. And yep, they're going to throw everything at the Lightning because they don't have a choice. They have to. And I think that alone is going to kind of keep them motivated. I don't want to call the Coyote game a trap game or the Senators a trap game. I don't want to do that. That's disrespectful. But in a way, I wouldn't be too shocked if we saw them kind of toying a little bit with things on those games. But the points they have to win, the teams, you know, where, you know, it's a 4-point game, not a 2-point game. I think that's motivation in itself. So in a way, having a really tough end of the season, I don't think it's going to be that bad for this particular team.
No, I think you're right too. I mean, you need to play. Those teams are fighting for a spot or even fighting just for playoff movement and seedings. They're going to come out like it's a playoff mentality game as well as they should. But the Lightning need to match that, because that's a good test in a way. I mean, they said the other night when they lost to the Wild that was a playoff field game, and they got worked. Mm. I mean, that was one of the most disappointing games of the season I've watched them. You know, like, that was just
weird.
That game, it felt like they were skating in slow motion, and they were just, you know, they just weren't all there. I mean, granted, Minnesota, you know, outplayed them and had a rare home loss. You know, they got shut out for the second time all season. I mean, that was a game that I didn't see coming, you know, but you're going to have those. You're going to have a clunker here and there. But now in the final 13, if you have one or two, and like you say, maybe like a trap game, okay, fine. But I want to see you at least, you know, play to the, you know, the capability that you have been doing consistently, and against these teams that are good that you may see in the playoffs. And that right there is the driving force for them to continue to do what they've been doing and not take any game off. And I'm not saying that they are, but, you know, being primed for the postseason, especially in hockey more than any other sport, is key. You can get a team that's an 8th seed or a 7th seed that can shock the world.
Yep.
You don't get that in any other sports. Playoff hockey, guys, we know this. You know, playoff hockey is the most exciting playoff series in team sports. So it is valuable. It is, like, you need to really hone in your team and fine-tune any little lingering issues you may have. Every team has it. I don't care how dominant you are. There are little things that the Lightning need to improve on. But that's okay.
Sure.
You know, they have 13 games to do it.
All right, so let's talk about the thing that kind of, for some reason, I don't know, I don't feel like it gets talked about enough. We have two really good goalies on this team. And I don't know exactly what the year is, but I believe this is the first time that two goalies from the same team have at least 20 wins in the same season in, I don't know, it's a long time. But
yeah, that's a long, yeah, it is incredible, though.
It's incredible, right? It's incredible. So how does that play a part in the playoffs? Now, Vasi has, over the last few years, kind of been, I don't want to say bailout goalie, but I don't know, for lack of a better term, because in the playoffs, Bishop got hurt a few years in a row, and Vasi bailed us out. He's been very healthy since he missed that time. Domingue has been unbelievable. I don't know if anybody expected that from him. But the goaltending on this team has to give them even more confidence when you get to the playoffs. Because when you get... It's been said a few times that Tuukka Rask has cost the Bruins a couple playoff wins, and from getting as far as, you know, their potential in recent years has been. So Jimmy Howard in Detroit. So,
right.
You know, it's almost like the X factor is there's not one goal. Well, you know, there's not one guy that's probably a Vezina finalist, but you have two that are very, very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, this is a good problem to have. I mean, who saw this coming? You know what I mean? Like, this has been an incredible ride for Louis Domingue. I mean, if you think about this, when he was claimed off waivers from Arizona last, what was it, November? Was it November of 17?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy has just been unreal in terms of just coming up, playing maybe once or so a week, or once every 2 weeks, if that. Mm-hmm. You know, and during that time, he has just had an absurd line, 27-8-1 in 2 years as the backup goalie. 12th win in his last 13 games last night against the Red Wings. That is absurd. Mm-hmm. That is just ridiculous. And you know, I thought the funny thing, guys, listening to his postgame comments last night, when he says it was weird getting a rare home start, which it is. I mean, the last time he had a home start, I think it was back in December.
Yeah.
So, yeah, December 10th against, I forget who that was against, but he had a rare home start, and it was hard for him to check out and see the different colored jerseys, you know? He's used to seeing, you know, the white jerseys on the way, and the Lightning were in the dark jerseys, and so he had a hard time picking them up on the ice. That's something that I would have never even thought of, but it's
right.
True. But, you know, as the game went on, he got used to it. And that last start was December 10th against the Rangers, and the Lightning won that. But, you know, what they're going to do, I mean, you're gonna stick with Vasi no matter what. I mean, he's going to get all the starts. You know, if they get, like, on a series clinching, you know, situation where maybe they're up by two games, maybe Cooper goes with Domingue for a start or so. But if that's the case, that's just going to show you that they just need to keep him fresh just in case, because we've seen what's happened in the past with Bishop getting hurt, you know, when he was there and Vasi came up. So, you know, I think it's easy to say that you're going to go with Vasi all the way. And I think the only way you're going to bring him in is if you're up by a few games in a series, potentially in a series clinching situation where they can bring him in just to get some reps. Because you don't want your backup goalie to be that cold going into the postseason.
Right.
You need to get postseason reps.
All right, John. Well, we enjoyed having you. I wish we could have you more because I just miss you. I miss hanging out with you. I only get to see you like once or twice a year now.
I know. Where have you been?
I know. Life and other things. But I guarantee you I will see you in the next few weeks as we get
Absolutely.
Closer to the playoffs. And so thank you. And you guys can check John out on ABC Action News. And how can they follow you on Twitter?
John_Stable. My last name, Sabol.
All right. Thank you so much, John.
Dory, great to hear from you. Hope to see you soon. TT, take care. Hope to meet you sometime soon.
Absolutely. What a nice guy.
Yeah, super fun.
I watch him all the time on TV. I split my time between Dan Lucas and John Sable.
It does feel like he's always there, him and Dennis, though. It's literally like every time you turn it on, you're like, the sports guy is the weekend angle. Oh, okay. Oh, now he's doing that. Oh, Dennis. Dennis is pitching in, too. I guess he can.
I'll, you know what? I want to see a day when Dennis Phillips starts doing sports.
He could do it.
He could.
He's a huge Rays fan. Yeah, he always goes to like Rays Fan Fest and stuff. Yeah, he's a big Rays fan. Okay. But I think he's a fan of everything.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe he can fill in for John so John can get a couple days off. Right? I don't know. But yeah, no. So lots of good points there. You know, like we said at the beginning of this show, it's hard to find any fault with this team.
Yeah.
And to find things to pick apart. And
the only thing I guess you could say is not playing a full 60.
Right. But I feel like we still get 45 to 50 minutes of a full game.
Yeah, yeah, you know?
And you know, looking at the wins versus losses versus ties after the Detroit game, I mean, it's just nuts. So, like, you look at previewing the Toronto game, okay, and you see the Lightning listed and the Maple Leafs listed, and the Lightning are 52-13-4, mm-hmm. and then you look at the Maple Leafs. You know, they've been very good this season.
Yep, great season.
42-21-5. Yeah. And you're like, wow.
You know,
in sports terms, that's a big difference.
It's a very.
With 13 games left.
Very
and
big
difference.
And
you meet each other, I think, twice at the end of the season.
Yes. We're going to see them two more times.
So. Yes.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared. Because I, you know what? It's interesting.
It's not scared. It's like nerves.
It's interesting. I think he made a very good point. Maybe the last three games of the season, you let some guys rest. Maybe we'll see Louis Domingue a little bit in there, too. Even though it's against Montreal, Toronto, and Boston, one of those teams we may meet in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a good time to rest because they might be clawing their way for a playoff spot. And that's when things get a little unhinged
mm-hmm.
by another team and some guy on another team making a stupid decision and, you know, it could affect our team in the playoffs. I'm not even going to say it. Do you see how I danced around that?
Yeah, I did.
So it might be a good idea to do that, you know, but I do think consistency is key with this team. A lot of teams really don't start playing until mid-November
mm-hmm.
when they really kind of figure out how they gel because they may have had a couple additions or subtractions from their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our team, just because they have been so consistent with the lineup and the players, they didn't have a lot of change from last season, that they just hit the ground running. And they didn't have to take that time to figure each other out. They mm-hmm. already knew each other. So I don't see there being, like, I don't feel like they're going to let their foot off the gas.
No, I don't.
They've had their foot on the gas since they stepped on the ice for that first home game.
And
it's been impressive.
The one thing that we talk about when, you know, building the team and how what a wonderful job that Steve Yzerman did.
And Julien Brisebois is continuing to do.
And listen, Cooper has a hand in that as well.
Everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's, and I'm not trying to cause, you know, a scandal or anything, but there was a player that didn't fit.
Right.
And he wasn't here as long as some people had prophesied him to be here.
Right.
Actually, kind of two, but we'll just stick with the one. And it's worked out for the Lightning.
It has.
So Cooper has a hand in that as well. Cooper has some
say. He's in the locker room every day, and he sees how the guys gel.
Yeah.
And
I'm not saying he was, you know, acting GM. I just mean that his input matters.
Here's the thing. I feel, and we haven't been in the room when they have these meetings or have these discussions in the hallway or whatever, but it just feels like a very cohesive group. And that's not just the defensemen and the forwards mm-hmm. and the wingers and the goaltender. It's the players on the team. It's the coaching staff.
Yeah.
It's the upper
front office.
Jeff Vinnick, who has said he does not make personnel decisions as far as who's on the ice. But all, like, I feel like there is a level of trust between mm-hmm. all of those, let's just say, departments.
Okay.
So think of where you work mm-hmm. and all the departments. Do all of them get along? Probably not. But it just feels like there's something special going on in Tampa Bay, not just on the ice, but with all of those involved
yep.
that end up putting that final product on the ice every night. I feel like the drama has been pushed away.
Yep.
They're just focused on winning. And Nikita Kucherov, I don't know if, I think it was in a Joe Smith article on The Athletic where mm-hmm. it was about Nikita Kucherov and what he did during the off season and how he's just having fun playing hockey. I think part of it was signing that extended contract. Hey, look, I'm going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and they say sports is mental. Like, there's a percentage that's physical and then a percentage that's mental. Knowing that you're going to be in one place for a while, they have decided to invest in you and your skills. You don't have to prove anything. You're still getting a paycheck, but you want to prove it to yourself.
Right.
You want to prove it to your teammates. You want to show up every day for your teammates. I think that signing in this offseason may have been the X factor for this team.
It may
have been like that one little linchpin in this team.
And Steve Stamkos did say the night they played the night of the trade deadline.
Yes.
And he said, listen, try not to think about it because it's out of our control. But there's some guys, you know, going to sleep a little easier tonight.
Yeah, can control what you can control.
Right. And so when you look back at last season, it's essentially, maybe without Eric Chernak, there's a few we can, you know, throw in there. For the most part, let's say that, for an overwhelming majority of the team, they've been here.
Right.
They experienced, like John said, that loss in Washington, which stunk.
It still stings.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even on the ice.
No.
It stings.
And I tried to be nice about it.
When that team goes on to win the Stanley Cup. And you see all of the celebration all over social media.
And I said, you got to give it to Ovechkin. Was just a different player.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't know how he got that dude to play D anyway, because he's back to being Ovechkin.
You know what?
And
I may regret saying this because we may end up meeting that team in the playoffs. But what Barry Trotz did in Washington.
Oh, my goodness.
Without having a contract extension.
Yeah.
And then, you know what?
He's doing it on
I'm going to take my talents to the Islanders.
I know.
And what he's done with that team after losing John Tavares. Bravo to you, Barry Trotz. Like, I still want to kick your butt in the playoffs if we meet, but bravo to you, Barry Trotz, because he's takes a special kind of man to be able to do what he did and to not let his that's, again, a non-ego.
Yeah, I don't think Trotz is an ego type of guy.
I don't think
so
either.
He seems kind of like a real he's very put together.
Yeah, and I don't mean to go off on a tangent here, but I feel like we say that a lot when we talk about the players in Tampa Bay, the coaching staff, the front office, and any other team in the NHL, for the most part, there are no egos involved. And that's another reason why I love this game, is because I feel like in other sports, that is a main factor.
Oh, yeah.
And there's just something different about the psyche and the personality of a hockey player that it just makes it so much easier to love this game because you don't have that kind of drama. And when you do have that kind of drama, everybody focuses on it. And it's a rarity.
It is.
Just
throwing it up there.
You know, I'm in a very good mood now that we can say that the Lightning have clinched a playoff spot, even though, like, you know, the NHL, did we have any doubt? I mean, they've been in the top of the standings since like October. I feel like there might have been one or two weeks here where they might have.
I think December 2nd.
They've been number one. Yeah. Like, we had any doubt, but, you know, it was just like we were waiting. We were waiting. They could have clinched their spot on Thursday night against Minnesota had two other teams lost.
Again with Minnesota. Why?
Because maybe we don't see them that often. I mean, they are a big
Minnesota.
Team. They were on that ice, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, and God, these guys are huge.
And they're playing very, very
well
lately.
They are playing very well.
But it's always Minnesota.
It is.
It's so weird.
Yeah, we have a couple teams that...
Minnesota, Nashville. I don't know what it is.
Oh, gosh, Nashville. I don't even want to think about Nashville.
Nah, I'm not worried about them.
They're $50 hats.
$50 hats. But, okay, so going back before we got on a tangent... the other interesting thing is during the offseason, Nikita, you know, we kept the team together.
Yeah.
They knew we have the talent, we have the depth, but something isn't working. Mm-hmm. Other teams, we've seen this in the past, other teams start kind of tweaking the roster.
Right.
We didn't. We tweaked the coaching staff.
We tweaked the coaching staff.
We tweaked because the penalty kill was not good. I think we can say that.
I think everybody can agree with that.
This year, number one.
Man.
Number one penalty kill, number one power play after Detroit's game. I think it's 85.6% on the penalty kill. That's ridiculous. And 29 point something on that. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
So it was something that they looked at and said, nope, we're good on forwards. We're good on defense.
Our players are good.
Our special teams and our defense could use a little bit of tweaking.
Right.
Unfortunately, Rick Bonus, and I always forget the other coach's name, and I'm so sorry, no disrespect, coach. And you know, they bring in Halpern, who I think has done a really good job. They had Todd Richards take over more of, you know, the defense, you know, the the duties. So it's they have faith in this roster.
Absolutely.
They believe in this roster. And Brisebois has shown that.
Yep.
Throughout
by not doing
his
anything
tenure.
At the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Yep.
They now know they believe in us and we're going to get this done. That's what I think.
I don't think there's anything left to say.
Yay.
Yay. All right. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And now we know we're at least going into April with shows.
Yes.
So stick with us. Yay. We get more shows. And you guys, yay, get us. I don't know. Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
They're like, no, blast. More Dorian CT. But if there's more Dorian CT, it means our team's going further into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. See how I turned that around?
Yeah.
All right. We'll catch you next week on another edition of Game Miz Conduct. Catch you later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.